Amagyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shigurabe Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Svapadam Tikam Narayanam Namaskitya Naram Chaivo Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Yasam Tatu Jayam Virayad Nasta Prayeja Badrishunittam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Leggiamo dal quinto canto. We read from fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, Lord Rishabhadeva's teachings. The text is number 19, right? Yeah. Idam shariram mama durvibhavyam satvam hi me hridayam Yatra dharma prishte krito me yad adharma arad ato hi mam rishabam prahur aryaha Idam sariram mama durvibhavyam Satvam himeri dhayam yatra dharma Prishte kritome yada dharma arad Ato himam rishabam praur haryaha Idam, this, sariram, transcendental body, Satchitananda vigraha, mama, my, nurvibhavyam, unconceivable, satvam, with no tinge of the material modes of nature. He, indeed, me, my, Hridayam, heart, yatra, wherein, dharma, the real platform of religion, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, priste, on the back, krita, made me by me, yat, because adharma, irreligion, arat, far away, ata, therefore, he, indeed, mam, me, rishabam, the best of all living beings, Prahu, call, Arya, those who are advanced in spiritual life, or the respectable superiors. Translation, my transcendental body, Satchitananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human body. It is inconceivable. I am not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. My heart is also spiritual, and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart have I abandoned irreligion, adharma, and non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabhdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word idam sariram amadurvi bhavyam are very significant. Generally, we experience two energies, material energy and spiritual energy. We have some experience of the material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. Because in the material world, everyone's body is composed of these elements. Within the material body is the spirit soul, but we cannot see it with the material eyes. When we see a body full of spiritual energy, it is very difficult for us to understand how the spiritual energy can have a body. It is said that Lord Rishabhdeva's body is completely spiritual. Therefore, for a materialistic person, it is very difficult to understand. For a materialistic person, the completely spiritual body is inconceivable. We have to accept the version of the Vedas when our experimental perception cannot understand the subject. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha, the Supreme Lord has a body with form, but that body is not composed of material elements. It is made of spiritual bliss, eternity, and living force. By the inconceivable energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord can appear before us in his original spiritual body. But because we have no experience of the spiritual body, we are sometimes bewildered and see the form of the Lord as material. The Mayavadi philosophers are completely unable to conceive of a spiritual body. They say that the spirit is always impersonal, and whenever they see something personal, they take it for granted that it is material. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Vajananti mam muda manusintanum asharitam parambhava majananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. Unintelligent people think that the Supreme Lord accepts a body composed of the material energy. We can easily understand the material body, but we cannot understand the spiritual body. Therefore, Rishabhadeva says, Idam sariram mama durvi bhavyam. In the spiritual world, everyone has a spiritual body. There is no conception of material existence there. In the spiritual world, there is only service and the receiving of service. There is only sevya, seva, and sevaka. The person served, the process of service, and the servant. These three items are completely spiritual, and therefore the spiritual world is called absolute. There is no tinge of material contamination there. Being completely transcendental to the material conception, Lord Rishabhdev states that his heart is composed of Dharma. Dharma is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parityajam Amekam Saranam Vraja. Every living entity is surrendered to the Supreme Lord and is completely on the spiritual platform. Although there are servitors, the served, and service, all are spiritual and variegated. At the present moment, due to our material conception, everything is durvibhavya, unconceivable. Being the supreme, the Lord is called Rishabha, the best. In terms of the Vedic language, nityo nityanam. We are also spiritual, but we are subordinate. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the foremost living entity. The word Rishabha means the chief or the supreme and indicates the supreme being of God or God himself. My transcendental body, Satchitananda Vigraha, looks exactly like a human form, but it is not a material human body. It is inconceivable. I'm not forced by nature to accept a particular type of body. I take on a body by my own sweet will. My heart is also spiritual, and I always think of the welfare of my devotees. Therefore, within my heart can be found the process of devotional service, which is meant for the devotees. Far from my heart, I have abandoned irreligion, adharma, and non-devotional activities. They do not appeal to me. Due to all these transcendental qualities, people generally pray to me as Rishabdev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all living entities. Mukam karoti vachalam pangurlangayate girim yat kripata mahambande shri gurum dinatarinam paramananda madhavam sichaitanam ishwaram. Hare Krishna. So Krishna's spiritual body, that's puzzling to the materialistic people. But he says, Ajopi Sanna Vyayadma Bhutanam Ishvaropi Sam Prakritim Svamadistaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya, that he appears because of his own sweet will, and his nature, his Varup, is completely transcendental. Nothing to do with the material nature. Now, we tend to think of a spiritual body as something, I mean, from the material perspective, as something like a very subtle, almost like a fantasy type of body. You know, something very ethereal, very subtle. Of course, Krishna is the subtlest, but not in that sense. You know, because when we think of form, we are absolutely conditioned. When we think of form, we think of limitation. And that's the problem. We think that form means limitation. Just like I give you a form of Gouda cheese. It's not unlimited cheese. It's just, you know, it's just a form of cheese, you know, and that's it. Cheese contained within that form. Now, if I tell you about an unlimited form, you say it's a contradiction. Immediately, the intelligent thinks it's a contradiction. If it's unlimited, it's not a form. It can't be the same. Therefore, when an unlimited form comes, because the spiritual body means unlimited form, unlimitedly powerful, no time limitation, no space limitation, no dimension limitations, no limitations. When this kind of form appears, we can't figure it out. We can't understand how can that exist. So what are we to do? I mean, we have limited intelligence. Limited minds are the material elements called ego, intelligence, you know, bhinna prakriti. These they have a tendency, or better say, we have a tendency through them to try to comprehend everything within them, to bring Krishna's form within our intelligence, within our mind. But we can't do that. So, what are we to do? Can we understand anything about Krishna? Because if we cannot understand anything about Krishna, how can we be devotees of Krishna? So what are we doing here? Something we must be understood. So by Krishna's transcendental mercy, we are given some understanding through the Shastra and through the Mahajans, through the Acharyas. We can understand something. First of all, we can understand that in order to be the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord must be able, the Supreme Truth, must be able to reconcile all contradictory elements. In order to be omnipotent, in order to have absolute potency, no contradiction can be left unresolved for him. Otherwise, there's no question of omnipotency. Omnipotency means omni, in Latin means all, you know? All potency, absolute potency. No obstacle, nothing that cannot be done, nothing that cannot exist within him. So this omnipotent position of the Lord is Achintya Shakti, inconceivable position of the Lord, is the answer. And we can understand the inconceivable must exist. Because, after all, everything for us is inconceivable. We turn our head and see the world, or even try to, you know, see our own existence. We think we understand the material body somewhat, you know, we can somewhat understand, see things, the elements. But factually speaking, we cannot understand how it works, why it works, what is the soul, we cannot see the soul. Prabhupada once said, he cannot distinguish matter and spirit. You know, when two devotees were pushing him, there was that Revati Nandana and Shamasundara. They were sort of, you know, asking questions and questions about the difference between the body and the soul. Prabhupada said, you cannot understand. You can't understand. From this point of view, from the point of view of of your false ego, false identification, means from the point of view of matter, you can't understand the difference between the soul and the body. You can only come to a certain impersonal intuition or perception of the existence of the spirit, but you cannot see the difference. But you can understand that the source of all energies that are perfectly controlled and do wonderful things must be inconceivable, must be beyond the conceivable aspects of the energy. You can understand that. That's the information that comes from the Shastra. Now, it's not that the information that comes from the Shastra becomes realized within the limitation of your material intelligence. You can't expect that. But you can have the intuition, you can have the understanding that it must be so. Also because there is no alternative. You try to understand or to think of an original source of everything that hasn't got inconceivable power. You will not get anywhere. You'll not get anywhere. It must have inconceivable power. It must reconcile all the contradictions. Otherwise, how is that form and formless can both exist? How is it possible? And that's, you know, that's the way to try to understand Krishna. When Prabhupada says, try to understand Krishna, doesn't mean try to bring him within your intelligence, but try to understand how inconceivable he is. And so, regarding his form, we are saying, let's discuss how inconceivable his form is. For example, is both personal and impersonal. You know, Advaya Gyan, Brahmeti Paramadvaiti Jagavati Bhagavaniti Sadvaiti. You know, it's non-dual knowledge. Is simultaneously personal and impersonal. That's inconceivable. His forms are one and the same. As Lord Chaitanya teaches Sanatana Goswami, and it's also in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. His form is one, but is also unlimitedly variegated. There are unlimited forms, but it's still the one form. That's inconceivable. I mean, if you say one form, it's one form. How can it be another form? Because the form corresponds to his personality, to his identity. Now, it's not that when he expands, the Narayana says, okay, thank you, you expanded me. Now you go your way, I'm going my way. You know, I'm a Narayana, you're Krishna, you know, nothing to do with you. You know, it's just like, no, he's still, that's him. The unlimited Narayanas that populate the Vaikuntha planets is still his identity. It's not that they make a revolution, the Narayans with the, you know, with the banners. No, you're Goloka, we're here, you know, like, you know, you're Madhurya, we get, you know, just, you know, all Madhurya is there, give us some Madhurya. So, you know, there's no separation in that sense. It's still him. But simultaneously, inconceivably, he expands himself, and the individual Narayans are individuals. He's an individual. It's not that he's like, you know, Krishna with a joystick, you call it, with the kids, you know? Joystick, okay, let me move this Narayan here, then Narayan there, you know, with a big control room, with the joysticks and that, you know, where he has got the symbols like this, let him, you know, have a relationship with these devotees like that, you know, this other one, you know, has got the symbol this other way, you know, Sridhar, you know, it's another, you know, any controls. It's not, doesn't work like this. He expands himself, and his individuality is also expanded. Diparchireva ida santaramabhya petya dipayateva vritayeta samanadhar. The same, samana dharma means the same inherent intrinsic quality, absolute supreme individuality. It's the same. You have expense. So it's a full individual. Narayan is absolutely individual, every Narayan. And it deals with the devotees in a very individual way. It's not radio remote controlled in this. It's absolutely spontaneous, perfectly independent in his relationship. But he's still Krishna himself. So that's inconceivable. And his form is different, but at the same time is the same form. Just like, we try to give examples, of course, to try to understand the inconceivable. And so it's how inconceivable Krishna is. For example, the same person, you can see him different ways. If he is peaceful, if he is excited, if he is concentrated on doing something, it's the same person, but he is sort of, you know, his form changes a little bit, you know. But he's the same person. So it's an example. So different emotional states of Krishna, different, I have the word in Italian, forgive me, stati d'animo, it means, with state of being, you know, they manifest the different forms of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Shishi Radha Gopinaji Ki Jai. Arivo. So, and like, you know, he desires, you know, something, and it's, he wants to enjoy in a certain way. It's a lila avatar. It's absolute. Because he's absolute. Whatever he thinks he is, he is. Not like us. We think we are so many things, and we're not. It's just, he is absolute, and inconceivably so. So that's another way, you know. And let's say living entities, svamsa vibhinnamsa. We are, you know, fragmentary, infinitesimal parts, unlimited number of fragmentary infinitesimal parts. He is also us, all of us. He expands. It's not that we are like, you know, a father procreates a son or a mother, you know, then he goes and said, hey, hello, when I'm 18, see you, and, you know, I'm going, you know, to Madagascar, you know, and stay there, and I've seen him. So, you know, there's some souls try that, but they can't do it, really. It's only an illusion that we are separated from Krishna. Because Krishna is all of us. he expands, so he is one and simultaneously different with us. That's also inconceivable. Krishna is me also. Whether I like it or not, if I'm a demon, I don't like it at all. If I'm an innocent, I try to understand what it means. If I'm a devotee, I'm happy that Krishna is me also, that I don't have an absolutely independent identity. So, but my identity rests on Krishna's identity. So, but that's also inconceivable. How can someone be the supreme identity and expands in an unlimited number of identities, by the way, in this case, fragmentary identities or infinitesimal identities, be all of them, but simultaneously be them and be different from them? It's inconceivable. If you are one identity, you are one identity. You're not someone else. Yeah, there are many people that think they're someone else, but they're crazy in this world. This world, I think I am. You know, how many imitators of Elvis Presley? 37,000, the list. 37,000 imitators of Elvis Presley. Now, I think I say this many times. I don't know, it really stuck in my mind. This guy that, you know, he had to divorce and because the wife, you know, they ran to the police and the two kids, because he was always telling, "I called me Elvis," and his name wasn't Elvis. So they, you know, so you want to be somebody else, you can't be somebody else. Really, only Krishna can be, and it's incredible. It's not understandable. Even Brahma cannot understand. The Brahma Vimohan Lila rests exactly on this point. Krishna, it's exactly on this point. How can he be the supreme truth and is a small coward boy? The supreme truth, you know, the absolute total entity that, you know, everything is in him, you know, nothing is outside of him, and it's, you know, the source of all energies. A coward boy? I mean, it's like someone who goes out with the calves. I mean, it's... Yeah, we love it, of course, you know. But try to think from Brahma's point of view. I mean, he's a big shot, Brahma, you know. He has a lot of power. His form permeates the universe by his mystic power. Every creative tendencies that we have is actually connected with Brahma. You know, when you have a creative tendency, you know, whether you're an artist or this or that passion, that's Brahma. It permeates, just like Shiva is Rudra, permeates, you know, the principle is in everyone's head. When you want to destroy someone, you know, that's, you connect to, you know, Rudra is expanded. So they have big, big mystics, personalities. So how he, such coward boy? So he can't, you can't figure that out, really. How that can be the supreme truth? So he steals the calves and the coward boys, Krishna's friend. And what does Krishna do? You know, that's just to prove his absolute, inconceivable power. He expands again in them, identical. Not like Brahma's creation. You know, Brahma cannot create two flakes of snow identical. He cannot. Because this power of being identical with someone and at the same time being different, it's only Krishna's. It's only the pure, supreme, absolute chief, you know? So he does, you know, he expands calves and exactly the same, with the same nature. It is the same, exactly. And Brahma is bewildered. He says, because he can understand, he's a creator. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like he says, "Oh, this looks like Bhakta Frankie." No, I don't know, maybe it's him. No. You know, he can understand. He can really see through another person, a living entity. He can really see through who he is, where he comes from. You know, he's what to speak of his DNA, I mean, you know, in anything, you know, you can see. Perfectly. from the root of his existence, because he's at the root of that form. Brahma is at the root, he's a creator, but he can't figure it out. He said, but these are the same. And he goes back and see in the cave, and they're there. How is it possible that two exactly same identity, I mean, are there? It's Krishna. So that's Krishna's power. We cannot understand that. But we can understand that the what's called sattva-valambi parasattva-vish, what is the support of all existences must be beyond the conception of existence that anyone has. It signifies every kind of existence. That's the point. That's Krishna's position. That must be the absolute truth, the original fountainhead's position, the sarva-karana-karanam, no? The transcendental supreme entity. It must be his position. So it signifies everything. For example, okay, I mean, we are given different examples of how he can be simultaneously inconceivably one and different and reconcile all these contradictions. So now the question is, what does it all mean? Why does it do this? What is the point in doing all this? This is the real question. The real question is, and Rishabhdev answers, his heart. His heart. Everything is generated by the Lord's heart. Heart means love, emotion, desire. That's heart. Everything in his heart. Like Krishna's heart produces the original lover, the original fiancé, the original counterpart, loving counterpart. That's Krishna. It's Krishna's heart. His desire to love, that is there in his heart, which is no different from him, manifests Radharani. It's not that the absolute truth, the supreme personality, has to, let's say, has to be controlled by certain principles that he has to abide by. It's not that by, I don't know what, you know, some pre-arranged model, he has to have a lover. No, he is the source, the original source of the idea of a lover. And since he's absolute, when he desires a lover, the lover is there and is not different from him. He's within him. He's not different from him. He is the source of mama and papa. His heart. Why mama and papa? Sorry, mama. Why do mama and papa exist? Because Krishna's heart. I want mama and papa. That's it. Simple. Yasoda, Nanda Yasoda, and then expansions, Devaki, you know, manifest. Because it's in his heart. It's his heart. And they're not different from him. Nanda is not different from Krishna. Yasoda is not different from Krishna. Devaki is not different from Krishna. When you read in the 10th canto, Krishna's appearance, he says, Krishna Rupinya, you know, appears from Devaki, which is, Krishna, it uses the term Krishna Rupinya. It's the same nature of Krishna. And sometimes Prabhupada said it's written Deva Rupinya. But what it actually means is Devaki is not different from Krishna. These are all Krishna's desires. Are you different from what you have in your heart? No. Of course we are. But, you know, I'm just saying, you know, that's an example. when you think of yourself, of your own personality, identity, nature, what do you think? Of your sancta sanctorum, you know, something you have within your heart, your desires, your ideas of yourself, your love, your aspirations, you know, like that, you know, that's you. Take away your relationship, take away your aspirations. What are you? A vegetable, nothing. Even a vegetable desires some water, you know, something. And nothing, you're a non-entity. So Krishna's personality, it manifests in Nanda Yasoda, Radharani, in, you know, Subal, and, you know, Madhu Mangala, everyone, you list, you name them. Okay, and then Taruka, you know, all in all the rasas. That's his heart. And every one of his expansion is within his heart. In that sense, it's no different from him. That's the meaning of internal potency. That is within him. It's his own desire, his own cherished, you know, desire and his love. That's it. That's his existence. Now, by virtue of his inconceivable potency, it's not that he has to sit on a sofa, Krishna, and think and dream like we do, you know. No, we don't sit on sofa. I'm just saying, other people do, you know. First of all, because we don't have so many sofas as devotees, but just in case. No one sits on a sofa and dreams of being, you know, like, you know, the Galapagos with a nice Canados yacht and, you know, whatever, you know, there swimming. Look at his eyes. He's already there, you know. So, like, you know, it's not that Krishna has to do that. You know, it would be nice, but in one sense. It's not that Krishna has to do that. He sits, you know, in this cosmic sofa, you know, and, you know, this unlimited sofa, and he's lying there. So, and he's... No, when he desires something, he is within himself, but he's also, he's within it. That's why Brahma says, after the Brahma Vimohan Lila, says, when he understands, wow, says, isn't it incredible? Everything is within you, because he understands. You are the fountainhead of everything, and everything is within you. Your desire is absolute. You know, everything is within you. At the same time, I'm talking to you. Everything is within you, but I'm talking to you. I'm in you. You have expanded in me. I'm within you. I'm within your desire. Just like now, we are within Krishna. Krishna is thinking of us. And he's thinking also of our material bodies, because that's through Mahavishnu. That's how we are, you know, we are the foundational support for our existence, even for the material body. Any energy is Krishna that is desiring it, his will. Huh? So we are here. But at the same time, we can turn ahead and see Krishna on the altar. Because Krishna is there. It's not that the Murti is, you know, a symbolic representation or something. The Murti is there, you know. Krishna is there. Krishna is also, can also come out of this microphone if he wants, or any, you know, in his personal, fully transcendental, absolutely powerful, inconceivably powerful form. So that's, he can do that. So that's inconceivable for us. How can Krishna come to Belgium? A little spot of, you know, on a little piece of dirt that flies in a big universe, you know, without, you know, no offense, you know, that, you know, could be Belgium, could be Italy, could be America, and the same thing, you know, they're all little, you know, these specks of, you know, on a crust. How can he be coming here, fully powerful, totally? Within himself, having all the avatars, all the living entities. It's not that Krishna is, you know, a particular sized Krishna for, you know, and no, it's omnipowerful. anywhere he goes, anywhere he is. When he manifests himself, all the expansions are within. All the living entities are within. We are also within him. And Krishna on the altar is not different from, is Krishna himself. Like, he can come in the form of the name, and everything is in him. Is the same Krishna. Abhinatvat namanam, you know, there is no difference. So, I mean, how can we conceive of someone like, you know, like that? We have to accept. But it must be, if we are talking, otherwise we have to become materialists. We have to become materialists. We have to say, no God, this is all going on because of this, you know, singularity that happened. At one point something exploded and it started to, you know, to mold itself into everything. You know, it came out ultimately as a Parmesan, as the Spain, as, you know, whatever, you know, Shakespeare, or, you know, quantum theory. You know, it's the same thing, you know, whatever, just to name a few. Anything else you want to put in it. So, otherwise we have to become materialists or impersonalists. Personalists, they say, you know, it's an unlimited, featureless energy. No, they don't even say it's not even an energy. It's not even energy. The concept of energy or any, because if you say energy, means energetic. So it's not even an energy. Don't call it energy. Don't call it anything. It's there. It's like, you know, it's, yeah. Because the moment you think of energy, you think of energetic. The moment you think of strength, you think of the strong. So you can't even, it's not even a point of energy. It's the being, you know. It just is. And which doesn't explain anything. It doesn't, you know. And Prabhupada very cleverly said once, if there is a doubt whether it's personal or impersonal, it must be both. Otherwise, why even the doubt was there? Why even the talk about it was there if it's only impersonal? So that's... So the acceptance of the inconceivable position and power of the personality of Godhead is the real intelligence, is the real intelligence stand. Nothing else can be compared to that. Mostly intelligent, one who understands the inconceivable position and power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achintya Beda Abeda, the inconceivable one, simultaneous oneness and difference. That's it. And that is why he is the chief. otherwise he is the chief, but is not absolute. Then he's not the chief. Chief, the real chief means no asama urdva. Nothing can compare to him. And the stupid people, let them think that, you know, okay, he's the chief, but, you know, he's not really, you know, absolute, not really. Avajananti mamuda manusimta mamasharita. Anyway, you know, they think, you know, let them have their own idea. Anyhow, Krishna after that says, moga karma, you know, it just takes care of them, you know. But not just out of vindictive spirit. It's not that yes, something with them. It's just to cure them. Because, I mean, the demon has an appealing feature. The demons are the real revolutionaries. The demons. Sympathy for the demons. You know, it's like Rolling Stone, sympathy for the devil, right? Used to sing. So, the demon is how, yeah, you are the chief. You are omnipotent, and, you know, I'm here, you expand me as an infinitesimal that, you know, is prone to go into illusion, and, you know, for billions of lifetimes I think I'm an employee in a factory, or I'm a dog smelling, you know, corners on the street, you know, and you do that to me, you know. So the demon has this and says, souls, let's revolt against the personality of Godhead, you know, that is so, you know, is boasting himself being, you know, the chief and, you know, omnipotent and this, you know, and we are here struggling and, you know, like in the Rwanda of the universe, you know, here, whatever. You know, it's like that. And, you know, unless you understand Krishna's heart, unless you understand that this inconceivability rests on his heart's desire of love, and that you are a manifestation of that love that he has within himself, because you are within him. You will always be within him. He'll always be within him. Unless you understand that and you appreciate that, it's difficult to be engaged in devotional service. That's why the demons can't do it, because they can't. The demon is a soul that is really turned, is whose consciousness really turns sour. He can't, you know, can't accept Krishna's infinite power, and infinite love. Okay, you know, the demon thinks, okay, well, let me decide, the demon says. Show me, you know, this devotional service, you know, show me, you know, what it is, and show me the, you know, and the material life. Then I decide. He doesn't understand his ontological position, the demon. Doesn't understand it. He thinks that he can be the observer, like you know, ascetic observer of love for Krishna, the condition of being a lover of Krishna, as devotee of Krishna, and being someone who doesn't love Krishna and lives a different type of life. He doesn't understand his identity. He is an expression of Krishna's love. How can you understand love of Krishna if you don't recognize you are an expression of Krishna's love? How can you? If your identity is an expression of Krishna's love, and it is, Krishna within his heart, he expands all of us, everyone. Expands Vrindavan, the spirit of devotee. The concept of, you know, and the principle, not the concept, the principle of loving, of loving relationship with an identity. To whom he gives, to that soul he gives all himself. So you are an expression of Krishna's love. Infinitesimal, maybe, not comparable to Radharani or to other, but nonetheless, Krishna loves you completely. So, if you don't understand him from that perspective, if you don't situate yourself in this visuddha sattva bhakti, you know, in that position of pure or recognition of your being an expression of love of Krishna, how can you understand Krishna truly? How can you understand the reason, his motivation? How can you? You can't. So it's not a question of observing two different states of being from, you know, an ascetic, you know, above identity. It's a matter of being who you are. That's why Bhakti Amama Bijananti. Only when you recognize that you are devotional service, ultimately, you are a manifestation of devotional service. You are Krishna's, you know, dharma, devotional service is in his heart. It's his heart. So unless you position yourself there, how can you understand Krishna? You always see him as someone, let's say, different from you. Different in the sense, not different in the sense that, of course, there is simultaneous oneness and different, but different in the sense alieno, you know, alien, you know, you're alienated from. You'll never see the co-participation, I mean, the mutual belonging, the absolute sense of belonging that is natural for the soul. So the demon makes this mistake. He thinks he can observe devotional service. He thinks he can judge it and see and decide whether being a devotee or not a devotee from a superior platform, which is, you know, artificial. It can't be there. And that's why he's angry. He's angry because he thinks, oh, I'm not given the chance to to decide. I'm not even this, not given this controlling power, but I can decide whether I can be a devotee. To understand Krishna, I have to be a devotee. So, I'm forced to be a devotee. Because he doesn't understand that he is intrinsically a devotee. is an expression of Krishna's love. He has no other identity, really. Therefore, that's why he is given false identities in this world, in the world of Maya. Because he has no other identity. The soul has no other identity as his original identity, as being a servant of Krishna. So he is given many, you know, you're a woman, you're a man, you're a dog, you're a cat, you're a lizard, you are a deva, you are this, you are that, you are an artichoke, you're whatever you want. So it's, you're given so many identities. False. And wow, that's terrible. That's terrible because from the perspective of those identities, you never understand Krishna. You'll never understand Krishna. You have to understand Krishna from the absolute platform, by positioning yourself on the absolute platform. And that means to accept that I am totally belonging to Krishna, and and my real duty in life, my dharma is, you know, being in Krishna's heart. Surrendering to him. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya dar varjanam rakshasya ititi vishvaso bhaktritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye sadvida saranagati. That's, you know, actually we don't have to do anything else but surrender. I mean, that's all. Surrender. Just like when you are in a war, you know, it's just you lost. Surrender. Just, you have to surrender. Otherwise you die and you be reborn again. It's right, and you never see Krishna. Do we want to understand Krishna? Do we want to see really Krishna is? Do we want to? Yes, we want to. What are we doing otherwise? So although we are not qualified, and I mean even Indra sometimes becomes covered by demonic mentality. Indriyari vyakulam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. Krishna comes for Indra. I come for Indra, he says in the Bible. Yeah. And Indra turns against. And it's like even Indra. Indriya, you know, I'm coming to kill Indra's enemy. Indriyari vyakulam lokam ridayanti yuge, age after age. And Indra, who is Krishna? You know, I'm going to throw, you know, this and that. And, you know, he has some problems. So it's, let's not be stabilized by the materialistic, you know, pushes of our minds and intelligence. Let's be steady, determined. Vyavasa yatmika buddhi. Let's fix ourselves. I really want to, I know that in order to understand Krishna, I have to love Krishna. That's synonymous. I cannot understand Krishna without loving Krishna. And my position is an expression of love of Krishna. So let me do that. Let me take that. And give up all other considerations. Lord Chaitanya says, even if Krishna is a rascal, I'm still going to him. You know? Asli shava padarata. Because at the end, I tell you, he needs that. Because if we always have a tendency to rationalize. And you see a little boy dying in the street, or a boy with cancer, or, you know, or this or that. It's sometimes gets difficult, you know. It's wow, you know. Yeah, of course, it's his karma, you know. Who knows what he has done in his previous lives, the guy. But still, you know, it's not easy. We came here and we stayed here for, you know, numberless lifetimes. Because we are really tough, you know. And it's to, you know, the resentment towards Krishna is strong. The alienation from Krishna is strong. So we have to be very determined. I don't understand really. I mean, Krishna, even if he appears to me, that is unjust in one sense. Even if my teeny brain cannot understand certain things and, you know, this and that. And I, you know, Krishna is, you know, the object of love, the object of service. Sevya. Seva, sevaka. I'm a sevaka. That's my position. And on that platform, I'll understand everything. Sometimes Prabhupada used to say, just go back and then you'll understand everything. You know, just because otherwise it becomes like, you know, one of those things, you know, they eat the wood, how do you call it, termite or something, in the brain, you know. How does Krishna does this? Why Krishna, you know, how can he be like, you know, it's like people get these termites in the consciousness full of holes, you know. Then it's no, just you'll understand Krishna. You'll understand how he has never achyuta, infallible. He has never failed in his loving propensity. Never. In no circumstance, with no entity, in no way has ever failed in loving himself, which means loving all his expansions, all his emanations, all the aspects of himself, including us, including the guy who's born in Rwanda and dies after 3 minutes, including anything. Okay. Only at that point we'll understand. So, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, please. Correct me if I've said something wrong. Yeah. Well, now you put me on the spot. If you don't understand, how you ask me, asking me? I don't know. I mean, I'm not faking being humble, you know. I hope it's not that one of those questions that, you know, I have to go and, you know, eat some grass outside after. Okay, go ahead. Are you sure? I mean, these are liberated entities, and you know, I'm sure Krishna, as he can give, as he can impress the universal form to a new Brahma that creates a universe, in order to create from the point he had left the previous universe. I'm sure, you know, this awareness in this liberated. And what were they dreaming when they were in slumber? I mean. Maybe they grew up and understood everything and they saw it as a dream. I know, I'm not going to create leelas for Krishna, but I see absolutely no problem for Krishna's inconceivable power to bring, you know, everyone up to date when they manifested themselves again. But the interesting thing is that, now one may ask, but if Krishna expands in everyone, boys, calves, you know, ordinary in Vrindavan, and everyone loves them. How is that when he expands in identical forms, they love him more, these forms, the Father? Because that's another feature of the inconceivable oneness and difference. Even when he expands an equal, he is still the chief. Even if he expands an equal calf, he's still Krishna. They expands himself as the chief in that calf. Let's say a Vishnu Tattva calf at that point. Not a Sevaka calf. So it can be identical, but it can be Vishnu Tattva at the same time. So that's why the parents and the cows, they were loving their children and their calf more than they usually used to love, which must be a lot of love already there, you know, perfect love, because they are, you know, on... is, you know, servants of the servant. You know, it's like love amongst liberated entities. But still it increased, you know. That's also inconceivable. How can, let's say, Krishna expands it into another tattva of it. You go and, you know, take rest for, you know, some time, you know. And a new expands in tattva and tattva of it. And everyone loves it all of a sudden. No, they all love you right now. But I mean, all of a sudden, they feel, oh, where is tattva of it? Has he come to Mongolarti? Everyone is there, you know. They did tattva of it take prasadam. You know, and all the ladies are there with, you know, something to eat, you know, looking for tattva. Okay, to offer. So, you know, if that, why am I saying this? I don't know. But still, he can be you, absolutely identical, but still he would be a, you know, Vishnu tattva tattva vit. Vishnu tattva vit. And that would create, you know, on the absolute platform, it would create a diversity, which is inconceivable for us. Because it would be identical to you. He would still come, do his service in the BBT. He would still call, you know, me and say, look, you know, I think that book, you made a mistake there, you know, and I should have the But then I would love you for that. No, just, I'm still loving you for that. So that would be the difference. So Krishna, you know, okay, it's incredible. Krishna is okay. Any other? Thank you for the question. Anyway, by the way, this is a very, you know, deep and intelligent question. My answer is that, you know, Krishna is, you know, inconceivably up to date, in the sense, you know, he manages his lila in a way that they are perfectly flowing perfectly. And any other questions or comment? Yes. Yeah, actually, when the original kids went back, they kicked them out. Yeah, no, they said. No, no, they didn't. Krishna was there, you know, Krishna remained. It's not that Krishna disappeared. I mean, it's like, you say it's a scale down, you know. It's in Vrindavan, they used to say, and it's, life is not like before, you know. Krishna is there. They always have Krishna and this Leela, you know, every Leela of the Lord, and that's another feature of his inconceivability, the absolute time, you know, it stays. It stays means it doesn't fade away. It's eternally present. Now, don't ask me to explain how that happens, but Prabhupada once said, you know, talking about absolute time, that, you know, you're playing with Krishna, you know, everyone is enjoying, you know, in Vrindavan. Then it's afternoon, you've taken, you fall, you know, you take some rest, you know, fall asleep. And dream of Krishna, beautiful things. Then you wake up, it's still afternoon. That's, time hasn't passed. Still you have time. So it's like, those lilas, those, it's not that they went away and, you know, just like you have the picture of, you know, somebody, you know, my cousin brother, we used to play together, now who knows where he is, he's gone. Those times are not there anymore, you know what I mean? No, they stay, the lila stays, within the servant, within the consciousness, the pure consciousness of the liberated soul. So, it's not that after that lila everyone felt, now it's over, you know. Those were lilas. Now it's ordinary Vrindavan life, you know what I mean? But those lilas, it doesn't work like that. It stays, it's in the absolute time, so it never leaves. And Krishna, I'm sure, has come, you know, he always has something new, you know, Navayovana, fresh, you know, ever fresh. I mean, they never get bored, or they look back, you know, in Vrindavan. They think, oh, now, This period, it's a little down now. The lilas, you know, that it's crisis, right? It's crisis time. No, it's no crisis time. You know, it's always improving. No, but it's Prabhupada disciples. Without being, you know, but they really got a transcendental brain. I mean, it's the questions one may come up with. What happened to the family after Krishna? Anyhow, their love for Krishna increased. That's all. That's all we can say. Any other questions or? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki jai. Shinitai Gaur Premanande Hori Hori Bo. Редактор субтитров А.Семкин Корректор А.Егорова